$177,179, y'all see that figure? Down to $2,037.
Let's talk about some of the reasons why that occurred. The first time we received notification from her back,
In May.
In May, it looked like we were gonna add on about $100 million worth to our property values. She calls me back 2 days later, ooh, sorry. There is an adjustment out at AEP Swepco Wells Plant based on the improvements they made out there. That qualified them to not include that in their valuation, and that's gonna be 90 something, so basically.
Some of those pollution control plants, and it's been like, I don't know, $600 million out there, whatever it was, but a lot of that qualified not to be taxable.
So we lost what increase I thought that we were going to get, but then when we get the final numbers here from her, we've actually gone down by $100 million, another 100 million. So I asked her why the value's gone down. Well, you know, at that time she said, I don't like that estimated rate that I gave you back in May because it's never very accurate. Well, I always thought it was fairly accurate, but for some reason this year it was not. There was some new properties added that were not going to be included in the valuation. Those new property additions that are backed off of this calculation.
Right, the new property is not figured in the effective calculation.
Not that we have any say-so in the adjusted rates, but just make a big note there that while we're sitting here expecting things to improve in the way of valuations, and we're all probably seeing, if you're seeing what I'm seeing in my stuff, I'm seeing increases in my valuations, commercially and residentially. Nonetheless, we end up with $100 million less of taxable property. $2,137,000 down to $2,037,000. We lost $100 million there in valuation,
which allows you to, under the state law rule, allows you to use the effective rate of 58.5 instead of 47.90. So that, in theory, you collect the same amount of money as you did in the past. Things go in there that don't necessarily any new property. And there wasn't a lot of new property. It was $20 million, I think, of new property. I asked her some of that because when you know we do these tax abatements and that stuff rolls off, it's new property that rolls off, like when Pritchard does their remodeling or additions, as that special rule that we gave that falls off that. It's treated like new property and well, anyways, it's not necessarily 20 million new stuff done this year. It could be some of these roll-offs coming from tax payments. But none of that's counted because
just to say an effective rate, that's an increase of 3 cents. And it's not in the
you're allowed to go to that effective rate.
Not in the
holding any hearings at all. You're allowed to adopt the effective rate without having to go to any hearings.
So you still have to get that budget hearing.
Have that budget because we don't have any tax rate hearing. It's not necessarily tax rate increase. Under the law. So, using those numbers, we have to, if you go back down towards the bottom of the page, you see M&O and IMS down at the bottom.
Hold on a second. How on earth can that rollback rate be 65 cents?
That's the number that they used. That's the number that's on her sheets. And that's not counting the sales tax bill, I guess.
Because it's 54 after the sales tax. On that notice, it goes and it shows on the what was in the paper that after the sales tax
was reduced. So maybe it's 54 to 65.
But I don't know which one you use.
Yeah. The final rollback rate is 54 after adjustment for sales tax.
Where do you see the
I didn't write it down.
Oh, you didn't write it. Okay, give me that again, please.
54.51.
Oh, that makes more sense. So, because we're comparing a non-adjusted rollback rate last year of 49 cents.
Right. 54.
Okay. Yes, that does too. Yeah, that makes sense.
$451,000, we're not going to that anyway, but, that's the rate you could go to before you had to have a public hearing.
So thus far, everybody put this here on what this effective rate means, they don't know how much,
Then the next step that we go down to, if you go down about three-fourths of what down the page, you see the M and R, the INS, you see the INS is $2,236. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's our portion of the bond payment. That's what we have to pay. So the INS rate, you just take that number, back into using the evaluation, what you have to go, that rate is $12,033.
Nope, that came down $2,260,000 down to $2,236,000. So even though it went down a little bit, it still got an increase.
Because of evaluation.
No, the bond
payment went down.
See, it went from $2,260,000, it went down to $2,236,000.
That's right.
And then go down a little more in another year.
But even though this went down, up here, the rate had to go up because of valuation. Okay? So that's why we're at $12,033 instead of $12,080. Well, the M and O rate, all I do is plug in the difference, $58,500, which is the effective rate, and I back off $12,033, which is, so you come up with the M and O rate of $38,052. Okay, now the other thing comes into play here, it's down at the very bottom of the page, is a little bit of valuation. Okay, the appraisal district still valued that little bit of plan at $178,000.
The current year.
Lumen has valued it at zero. Does it?
This is the first year that went to zero.
Right. The year before, I've got the year before figures on there too. The year before, if you look at the bottom, you'll see 262. Our valuation was 262 million. Their valuation was 50 million. Okay. So.
It's 10 to 50 million for 3 years?
Yeah, for 3 years.
And now they're proposing zero.
Right.
I thought that code was set by all that.
We're the only one that has that set.
No sevens.
So, 55. We haven't had 750 million or anything. Nothing's been settled on.
That's what Lumen was proposing for the last 3 years,
right.
And then now they've gone to zero.
Right. Now, a long time ago when these first came up, I decided not to budget. I mean, I don't see any point in us budgeting 178 million because we're probably not ever going to get 178 million. I don't think it's going to be at zero either. But I always budget conservatively, so I went with the movement's number. I think when the court case is settled, we're going to get some extra money. I'm hoping the mediator is going to be in the middle, and we're going to get some extra money. Not as much as $1 million, because we held it for 4 years now. But whatever that is, for budget purposes, I'm using their number, because if they win the court case, that's going to be the number.
You put zero in this year.
Zero in this year, so I'll back it 178 million dollars where the value's off.
But you really don't have any choice. It would be foolish to gamble. You must take the conservative route, just like we've done every year. We assume 50.
This
year we're assuming zero value.
Because that's the worst case scenario. So, back on 178 million evaluation. So if you look down there, again, about 3/4 down the page, you're going to see adjustment for Lumen. Up here, we're back to about $905,000. Up here, we're back to about $905,000. And that's Lumen and taxes. We have to put it in at 178 million. We don't have any choice. But if they win the court case, there's $905,000 we're not going to get. So I'm budgeting if we're not going to get it. So I'll back that off.
You
can't budget. We can't spend that money if we end up not having it. We're not going to work without getting it. So that brings us down. So you see, you just follow the calculations down there. It's got the freeze valuation, then I've got the property taxes and the freeze taxes, and that comes up to $11 million. You backed off the $905,000, last year we backed off $1,015,000.
What's freeze tax?
Freeze tax is anybody over 65. No, their numbers don't change, so they pull it out separate. Okay. But the kind of interesting thing is the limit of adjustment actually went down, because the difference between 262 and 50 was bigger than the difference between 178 and 0.
And that's the difference.
See, it went from 212 difference to 178 difference. So, difference actually went down, even though they went to 0, because I don't know, it came down, it's kind of offset. So, there's your adjusted tax. That's 10,098,708. Yeah, I guess we know what it has to be, 2236, so back in the end, I was just 7862. Then, on just the normal taxes, we normally average 98% collection rate, so I took that number, and only use 98%. Again, now that's can't change, it has to be 2236, right? Like the payment.
That budget always comes out.
So we didn't know what that was, that was 7660. But even at those figures, you're gonna raise 9,896. Last year, you raised 9,684, and that's using the effective rate, which doesn't require, but you're gonna get an increase in taxes, even though we don't have that many taxes right here. Now, you can adopt the rate lower than that if you want to, but you're allowed to go to the effective rate without having to here. The question then comes to y'all, you'll have a little extra money. Want to use any of it to get raises to the employees? Do you not want to do any of that? Do you want a little lower rate, still maybe higher than last year's rate, not as high as the effective rate, and that option two? That 271 is about 10.
The potential problems involved with not going to the effective rate are going to affect you not this year,
future,
but in future.
Because it affects you.
If you get behind
future
now,
event.
If you get behind now,
that's right.
Turn, then you're going to find yourself having to play significant catch up future years if you back off from the effective rate.
That's right.
I sure would have recommended backing off from the effective rate, unless you have a good justification for doing that in your budget.
The other three things you have to consider is, number one, you won't get any raises. Keep this in mind, there's people in the sheriff's department that are automatically going to get raises. It's the other employees. Now, you wouldn't have to change step pay in the sheriff's department at all. So instead of having to figure raises on 110 people or having a job, you're probably only going to be getting raises to about 50 or 60 people. Because half the people are going to have it. And they're already in a step plan, whereas they can work their way up. The raise is built in on jetty raise, and they're going to be a better deal, understand me. So at least for a while, you wouldn't have to worry about it. And this year, if you did get raises, I would only recommend you get raises for the people that don't have those step plans. There are some people in the sheriff's office that are not in the step plan.
There's about five or six, just a handful that's not on the step plan.
And then all your other employees. I don't remember, did we go back to the step plan in for the precinct program? So, if you want to do that, that's what you're looking for. Second thing you got to consider is, what do you want to do about the next courthouse across the street? That's going to come out of fund balance after you do that. But you still got to figure what you're going to do, because I need to put it in place. And number three is,
the 250, the road bridge.
Oh, yeah. Road bridge. And then, yeah, he's got several more things. But the main thing to me is road bridge. You're going to put that extra 250 in the road bridge for seal cover again. And the other thing long term you got to think about there is, you know, you might get away from pulling money out of fund balance one more year for CIVCO. At that, I don't know that I'm going to commit to use fund balance anymore. So you're going to have to, at some point, increase the tax rate if you want to keep working on the program. Because it's all rusted money. And that's fine, but you need to have a plan to do it. It's at least a five-year plan of what you want to do and where you want to go. Because you spend that all on fund balance money, you can pull this in. I'm estimating 5 million for this, but if you spend $400,000 across the street, you see, to get to the Gulf Bridge, you'll be running down to 40.
Now, Gulf Bridge consideration is enough right there to not back off that.
The other thing, I don't know if I got that with you, Christie, did we bring that page?
Which one are you looking for?
In the two Gulf Bridge, that included in the No, that just comes out of fund balance.
That's the question for us to think about, is do we want to...
Now, you could pull it out here and put it over there. I mean, the extra money that's being created, you could do that. And also pull some out of fund balance. Maybe not that much, maybe $100,000.
They said on our agreement that we need to allocate more to the road bridge. The suggestion is to take $250,000 out of fund balance rather than doubling the request of the budget. But we can't do that every year and take $250,000 out of fund balance, certainly not after we lock the inmates or whatever you decide to do there. At some point, we're going to have to add some tax money if you're going to continue to increase the road budget.
Next year, we're gathering the rest of the place to put back on board. Next year, our required contribution to the finance fund goes from 2.42 to, you're going to say $200,000. As soon as possible. I've got a motion budget about a third of today. Yeah, the idea is, the plan is we all talked about today, give me a consensus of what to put in it. That doesn't mean that if we actually go with the budget, y'all can't change it because we've done that before. You can actually change it that you vote, but I have to have a proposed budget.
And if you're going to give raises, that's going to give me... it's going to take me some time to go in and figure those.
Yes.
And
yes.
Even if it is half of the employees, I still need to do that. And our district judges need to know if we're going to get raises because they're basing that off of some other things for our court reporters.
And the other thing that ties to that is if you are going to appraise it, then it gives you an opportunity to change insurance or better opportunity to change the insurance before it's fully paid, signed, or responsible for it. But it's a little hard to do that in a year when you haven't given a break. I say it can be done, but it's a lot harder to do in a year when you haven't given a break. Only if you do it in a year when you give a break. And you're still going to get more money even if you take some of it like insurance.
You've got a lot of things here, at least 10 items on this page that need your consideration in light of this unfortunate news that our tax valuation has gone down. Just running down these things, you'd be thinking about all of these things. Are you going to consider employee raises? Are you going to pass on some of the cost of employee health insurance to the employee? Are you going to change any of the plan details? Are you going to change deductibles?
Max amount of pocket?
You're going to change prescription drugs. I think the biggest, simplest, easiest way to do it is to begin. I'm a proponent of beginning a gradual, small, affordable increase in the amount of money that the employees pay for their health insurance in order to keep up with the times. You know, we're now exceeding $1,000 a month per employee, when 8 years ago we were around $750. We're going to continue to hope for improvement there, but we haven't seen it yet. We want to pull some money, suggested amount, $250,000 out of fund balance to add to Road and Bridge. Are we going to begin courthouse annex remodel or some other alternative to solve the judge's dilemma that you heard about last week? Annex repairs relatively insignificant in light of this budget. Annex repairs, what are you going to do that in conjunction with a remodel or without remodel? You got some main courthouse repairs here. Subject to certificate pay continues to come up for law enforcement.
But everybody's paid that except for the elected officials. You're going to be getting approved from somebody who makes allowable.
That's really affecting just like the constables, Paul Lindsay, and the sheriff.
Relatively insignificant, but nonetheless, it's not insignificant in their minds. Constable asked for mental health officer increase in pay.
Is that Barrett?
Yes, that's Barrett and his own business.
Yeah, Barrett came and talked to us in budget. His request was, hey, I'm doing more mental transports. I should get more remuneration for being the county mental health officer. Now keep in mind that when he makes those trips, typically they are in business hours. Sometimes he's making those trips after hours. Sometimes his female, Lisa, makes the deputy constable.
And he does get extra
trips. And when he makes a trip in his own vehicle, he's paid additional per mileage over and above his $15,600. Annual travel allowance.
Right. And he also gets a salary. There is an OPC salary that he gets.
That's right. And if he uses the county provided vehicle that has the cage in it, which is predominantly used, of course, all we're paying for is gasoline to do that. So his rationale is I'm making more trips over to Terrell and various other places, therefore, I'd like to see some additional mental health officer pay. Then lastly, you did not hear from Chuck Bailey, but as I told you, he wanted you to know that not this year, but next year, when we're sitting here a year from now, he is going to ask for an additional assistant district attorney and investigator. He will plan to use his forfeiture funds to pay for those positions until those forfeiture funds are no longer available. And at that time, and that should last for a few years,
There's about $400,000 in that house.
At that time, you would split those future costs of that additional ADA and investigator with Kent County. And I think it's a 40-60 split, 40 to Kent County, 60 to Hyatt County.
And while it gets $400,000 in there now, he does get the money in there, but you just don't know when he's gonna get it. It's a lot of it's.
Right now, it's maintaining, it's about level.
That's right. It hasn't really changed much in years, and he's been paying for his assistant DA out of there. The one assistant he's got all the time, he pays part of.
So that fund will evaporate about $100,000 a year, or a little more.
If he, when he does this.
When he does this. So that's just keeping in the back of your mind. Good news there that I see is he's expanding his office, because the need is there to expand the office. He's gonna do that, as we talked, with even more need for courthouse space, but that's coming. So he's nice enough to tell us, hey, a year from now, this is what I'm gonna be talking about.
Why would they use it in another system?
Why?
Yeah.
Caseload.
Caseload?
Student caseload. Yeah, I don't know how he's done it, just, I don't know how he's done it this long, the caseload he's got. And without having an investigator, and.
Investigator, like Paul?
Yeah, Paul is somebody to review his cases and determine, help him to determine what needs to be filed, what needs to go to the grand jury, what needs to be dismissed. In other words, where do we have enough evidence, where do we not have enough evidence? And you can sit down and have a visit with Chuck about any of this stuff. He encouraged anybody who would like to hear from him about that. He's just given us a courtesy. It's a year from now, I've got plans coming for additional staff over there.
And he's gonna pay for it out of his funds, but at some point, those funds go away in 5 or 6 years, because he's gonna be taking about $100,000 more out of that fund than he is now. So if his revenue stays the same, he would complete it in about 5 years. Then he's gonna ask us at Kent County to pay.
Where does that money come from in that?
It comes from mainly when they make all these drug stops out here. The money, everything, the cars, the money in those bills, they put all that money, it's put in a seized account until the court cases are held. And when the court cases are held and they're over, then the court cases are over, then most of the money is given to him. Some is given to the state, some is given to him.
He gets 30% of it, and the agency gets 70% of it. Like if they stop and do the drug forfeiture or whatever, whenever it's been awarded, he gets 30%, and the agency, DPS or the sheriff department, will get the 70%, and it's interest on that as well that they get.
So it's just in the seized account until the court case is over. Now, if the guy's found innocent, the money ain't getting in here.
And we write
the check. But if he's found guilty, if the court determines that everything he owns should come to the state, then that's how the money's split. Say you got it.
While you're thinking, I'll share with you my opinion on these things that I have been thinking about. Some of my opinions have changed in light of the lower valuation, which I was hoping we were going to see $100 million. Increase, which would have brought us a nice increase in total monies, but unfortunately it went the other way. Now we see some things in the near future that we think will swing our way, but we can't count on them and we sure don't know when. One of those is the bridge lawsuit. We go to mediation here. Did I send you that letter that we need to go to mediation?
I thought it was this September. We went down there last September.
I think it's September. Now, that's not going to keep us from going to court.
But the other thing to remember about that is even if they gave us $1 million, that's all got to go back to us.
It cannot be. Psychological help to us to know things are going our way.
All that's still down there is, because it all came from bottom line start.
It's a spendable budget. Will they sell up the aluminum ball school this year?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, we'll already know until you use it again. You could use it next year, but the problem with that is you wouldn't have an IMS rate for 1 year, and then next year you'd have to jack it right back up, and everybody would be mad.
That needs to go a little bit, well, I just want to make sure that in the end of the.
Yes.
Pay it off, we get that.
That sheet I was showing, I think 2033 or 2032 is the last year of the bond, we probably won't have to have any IMS rate for last year, because we'll pay for it. But this money would be.
That's exactly right, 33, 34, they should be paying all the money that we get.
That's right.
Another thing that may possibly go our way, we hope, is when you settle this Luminant lawsuit, if there is a settlement above what Luminant's been posting at $50 million, there would be some immediate repercussion from that in the way of some additional funds for us.
Some of that would have to go on IMS though.
Right, some of that has to go on IMS, we get a significant chunk of that. Again, we can't count on that, but we think it's, and we've been saying this for 3 years. Employee raises, it's, I think you should consider a nominal raise, I think you should consider a flat amount per employee, not a percentage increase, whether it's $50 a month, $100 a month would be the high end, in my opinion. Charge employees a portion of health insurance costs, I think that it's time that we figure out some kind of dollar figure on a per month basis that employees begin the process of working towards their participation in the cost of their health insurance. Just due to the rising cost of health insurance, that we can't continue to pass on to the taxpayer dollar for dollar year after year. Changes to the health insurance plan itself, I'm not advocating for any changes there, other than just what I call some cleanup issues that would help force people to utilize the maximum benefits of our health insurance, and that would be some mandatory mail order drugs, and some other things there that we can talk with CAPS about. I would suggest you continue your commitment to road and bridge improvement. Take no more than $250,000 from the fund balance this year, knowing that this is probably the last year that you can do that. I do think we should initiate an annex remodel process. That's going to be a, we're not going to complete that certainly in the next year, but we've got to have first somebody to tell us whether or not that building is worthy of this kind of expenditure, and we'll have to hire an architect. This is not going to be something you just turn loose, Richard Jones in there. You're going to have an architect that will help us design the highest and best use of that available space. Here you've got an expanding district attorney's office, and you're really not creating any more space than is already over there. You've got that available space for Judy Cook's exit. Will that be enough for a courtroom? Probably so, but you may have to eat into your hallway. You may have to expand the district attorney. You will have to expand the district attorney's office. You will have to make some changes to the judge's office. I do think there's enough available space over there, but it's going to have to be done right. We need a professional to help us do that, involving engineering services and architectural services. Annex repairs, those need to be done, and as part of, I would suggest the remodel rather than just changing the fascia on the outside of that. We can work that into the annex remodel. You got some minor county courthouse repairs here that we need to do.
Well, that's, I usually budget, my budget is $75,000 this year for courthouse repairs. $75,000. That's what I budget every year for courthouse repairs. Some years we spend that much, some years we don't. This year we've only spent $16,000 so far. The year before that was been $49,000. So, just as they come up, but I do budget for courthouse repairs. I budget $75,000. I think we've used $16,000 so far this year.
Can I change the courthouse?
Yeah. I had $50,000 over the annex, but that was for part of this remodel. We never did get into hiring an architect or anything like that, so I didn't spend any of that. The $75,000 was for anything to give me the courthouse. And then we'll cover anything to give me the courthouse.
Yes.
Well, probably is just to put the face on there.
that's something that'd be, we'd have to, you'd have to let.
Oh, it's not like $75,000?
That's just for routine repair, mileage, whatever. We don't necessarily use it.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. We've used $16,000 so far this year.
Oh, I got you.
Certificate pay for law enforcement for the elected officials, I'm not sure about that, and I don't even know how to quantify that one, that's something we hear about from time to time. If you feel like that's warranted, fine, I don't think it's a major impact on the budget. Is it an appropriate thing to do to compensate these guys for these additional,
And if you wanna do it, we need to find out if you legally can do it, I'm not sure you legally can change a elected official salary once a year.
Did you get on that?
If you, my recommendation this year, in light of the fact that we're not seeing increases in county valuation, justification for not doing that this year, and the same thing I would say about the constable's increase in pay.
Well, if you're going to, if you end up that you're gonna give the employees a $100 a month raise or whatever, they're gonna get that $100 a month, they'll assume they're gonna do it for everybody.
Well, I don't know, there's something to do with it.
No, I'm talking about if you give them, if you're going to give just a regular raise, they're gonna get a raise, even if they don't get the certificate.
I'm talking about the.
No, the other part, I wouldn't do it without.
I'm recommending postponing the certificate pay until we can see some good news here with our finances. I'd like to see you postpone that, as well as the constable's additional pay. We can always choose to compensate them on a trip-by-trip basis or something like that, but I'd like to see some more history on those trips, and I'd like to see us be able to.
Most counties got a full-time, a higher-paid men person, but they're strictly with men people.
Not our peer groups do not. Not our peer counties don't have a separate designated.
And our constable pay is a lot higher than anybody around, but most of our size in the whole state of Texas, we're in the top two or three, one, two, or three.
Well, I think that the package he's got right now is appropriate. We make a lot, we have a lot of mental health burden dumped on us by neighboring counties. He does pick up a lot of this burden. A rash lately of other counties that won't take care of their own mental patients that end up here, and they end up, we had the police bring a mental patient from Sims, deliberately brought him to Mount Pleasant over the weekend, deliberately came here instead of taking him back there. And so I didn't mind doing the order of protection custody, it doesn't cost anything for me to do that, but when it comes time to transport that individual, Harold, you know, what is their response from Sims? Well, if we're not busy, we'll come transport. Otherwise, y'all take care of that. And why did that happen? A Bowie County resident brought to Tykes County and ends up in our hospital. What do? We can't say, oh, no, turn around and go home. No, we can't do that. And then, of course, the district attorney plan doesn't have an impact on this year's budget, but just something to keep in mind for the future. Bottom line, my recommendation is you go to no more than the effective rate this year. That's a hard enough pill to swallow, going up 3 cents on the tax rate, but we cannot afford to let it erode and go less than the effective tax rate. When you see some real increases and when you see the effective rate actually going down, then we can take advantage of that. But this is unfortunately not the year to do that. That's all I've got to say about that.
Now, why don't y'all take, unless you want to talk for a few minutes, why don't y'all take a lunch break and go think about it?
Now, we need some discussion on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And you may change my mind. I just gave you my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go eat first.
That's what I said, go eat, come back, keep talking about whatever.
I don't mind talking about it, but I'd like to have tonight. This was all, I know this company deal was coming up, but
Oh, we can read it.
Can we have some discussion about it to even fix you more, think about it?
But, you know, this is a big decision because I can hear a lot of this stuff.
Okay, I need to tell our judges something as far as the raises. I need to tell them today.
Tell who?
Our district judges.
Well, let me have to learn tomorrow.
Okay.
Raises for what?
What they do is the court reporters, they do it based on if for some reason, if Titus County gets a raise, then the court reporters get a raise. And so they have, Shanna from Morris has been emailing me like 3 or 4 times, I'm like, do you know anything? Do you know anything? I keep telling them, I won't know anything, you know, and we've got to have our hearing. They have to have it by August 31st, which we'll have it by that time. But I just need to know something to tell her so she can. If I tell her next week, then it's, so they don't know. I'll tell her I don't know 500 times. I guess that's what I'll do.
Well, if you want to go and eat lunch for now for one, that's fine. Will you come back and have some discussion time when we're done with guests? And you and Mar today? And we're not going to just keep pushing this off unless we've got a deadline. If we want to go till tomorrow, I can't even go up now.
I'm not going to wait to discuss things, but I want, because I got some people I need to talk to.
Almost $600 for the employee. I'm saying, none of the elected, I don't think any elected official should get any increase. $50 a month would be $600 a year. Or $100 on the equivalent. Well, it's not going to be at all because the guy that was down the sheriff's department was on the step pay. I wasn't anticipating to give him anything. So that's half your people. So if you're talking, let's say you're talking 60 people. 60 times 600 is going to be 36,000.
That's about what I have. Now, back up a minute. This step pay, was it 1 year? Was it last year that they did the
last year was the first
last
year.
Last year, the first year.
We didn't say that eliminated them from all future raises.
No, what we were going to do with them was every 2 or 3 or 4 years, we're going to adjust the step pays.
Okay. So somebody that's on the step pay arrangement doesn't see an immediate $50 or $100 a month if you vote for a raise now.
Well, that's what I was planning on, because they're going to get a raise. What's it go, Ed? After they get 3 years of service?
It max, yeah, it's less than a year, then over a year, then it goes 5 to 7. I mean, it's, and this is on dispatchers, jailers, deputies, everybody except for their administrators.
That's not what I was saying.
Well, I mean, you can give them these raises, too. I don't know exactly.
Well, I don't believe Ingram was.
He wasn't.
He was not anticipating to do that either.
Okay. Indefinitely or this year?
Well, like, the maximum he can get in this step plan is 7 years.
Well, I think he was planning on adjusting the steps. Ever so often. I mean, I don't know how you do it. If I don't even remember. What does the step pay go to when you go from 2 years to 3 years, what does it go to?
I don't have it. I've got to get it. I'll bring that with it me after lunch.
After lunch, we'll bring that up here.
I'll make you a copy of it.
I don't know how practical it is to figure a $50 raise inside the middle of those rates. I don't know.
It's bad enough to have to figure it out.
Well, for the time being, let's just assume in this discussion everybody's going to get this raise. You were talking about that. You would say $650 a month.
Well, then you would go 60 times, probably 100 employees. If you're not going to give it to the elected officials, it's going to be 100 employees probably. So that's $60,000. Plus, you got about another 15% for because of that affects the retirement, that affects the payroll taxes. So retirement's 10%, payroll taxes are 8%, so that's 18% more. So 100 times 60,000 and another 18% of 60,000 is 10,000, so it'd be $70,000. just off the top of my head, said.
Now, if I'm going to, as I already told you I wanted to do, if I'm gonna change the health insurance policy to require them to begin to contribute, you gotta back that in here, right? If you're gonna give $50, take back $50, or $30, or whatever it is, I was gonna suggest, if you're willing to take.
If you're gonna do $100, I would suggest $30. If you're gonna do $50, I would suggest $20. Because I mean, you do it every payroll, so it needs to be $10 a check.
I'm not in favor of charging employees anything.
Okay.
Period.
We're the only ones that don't.
And I'm not in favor of it either. I'm doing it as a matter of.
Well, we've sat here for years. We're self-insured. If you compare us to other companies that pay, and we kept prices down, and this is one of the things, the reason people work in this county, won't come here because of benefits. And we're not paying that insurance company 30-40% profit, because it's not that bad.
That's right, and our monthly cost of $1,000 per employee per month, far exceeds our year, far exceeds.
Well.
Well, it's like I said, if you're doing the year where you get the raise, and you use the numbers I estimated, or because of Franklin's action, and you're talking about $130, but they still get $70 raise. They paid some of their insurance, they still have $70 raise.
Unless you adjust pending coverage along with it.
Well, you would make it adjust pending coverage, so, you know, you might go $20 more than it's going on, they still get it. If you only give $50 raise, hopefully the part of the school is in there.
I certainly hope that we would recoup some of our increases with the changes that we've made, but we still haven't happened yet. All right, you all wanna go break for lunch? Are you willing to come back after half to continue this discussion of our changes?
I do have those answers for the questions you asked me, Al.
I didn't ignore you. Where did I put those?
Okay. Al was asking some questions while I was gone and emailing, but I can't email back when I'm not in my office, and that's why I didn't answer you. He had asked me about housing state parole violators, known as the blue warrant inmates, how much that was costing us. We don't track that per person. Well, you were asking about the blue warrant people, how much that cost us to keep those people. We don't track that per person, but if you use the state pay, which is $45 a day, then you can assume it's costing us $45 a day to house them. I asked Tim this morning how many, if he still had a lot of blue warrants. He has some blue warrants. If y'all don't know what a blue warrant is, that's somebody that they're in our jail, they've already been found guilty, but they haven't transferred them to Huntsville. Somewhere like this. So they're still sitting in our jail, and we're having to pay to feed them, or get sick, or whatever else happens to them, they get moved. We used to have a really serious problem with that. When the state didn't have enough housing, they would make us keep them up here sometimes a year or two. We had to pay to keep them up here. They got sick. We still had to pay for them being sick and everything else, like they were our inmates were there. He doesn't have that big of a problem with that anymore. His biggest problem with getting them moved out now is the probation officer getting all the paperwork filed and getting them seen. It's not that they don't have beds, they've got beds, they just red tape it, sent it off. That's what the state says it should cost you, is about $4,000. They don't pay us anything, they pay us nothing. That was your first question. Your second question was, do we separate the cost of repairing the county roads caused by oversized, overweight vehicles? No, we don't break that down. Y'all might know how much it costs you, but my question, well, you were asking if we knew how much it costs to fix those county roads that are broke down by overweight trucks. We don't track that. Y'all might track that individually, but all we do is put it in road and bridge repairs whenever you spend the money. But I don't know whether it's money being spent because the truck was overweight or it's money being spent because it's just time to work on the road.
The JPs collect that.
We do get a fee of that, but I don't know how much it is. It's 50, not
we broke out. 50% of it, and 50% of it goes to the state.
But I don't know what the fines are.
I mean, your JP could run it for you if you want to know, and they're pretty sweet.
That's wrong. How about the interstate out there, the scale out?
We get a portion of that too, but I don't know how. I mean, I can't tell you per ticket how much it is. I can look back to
85% of the
state gets it, or we get it. So we would get 15% of this.
15%. The state gets it, permits it, all of us get money.
Then you ask if we pay DPS to keep DPS troopers in our county. No, we don't pay the DPS anything. We do pay for their secretary. But we're not the only county that does that. A lot of counties do that.
Why do we do that?
That was done that way when I got here, and I checked with a lot of other counties, a whole lot of counties that do that. In fact, there's a couple of counties that have two secretaries.
Yeah, and the DPS office, not just one.
That's not a mandate.
How much do you spend mandating? How much mandate they give us? We pay the county agents $20,000.
$10,000 going.
Got two of them.
Yeah. Well, but the same one, we haven't had that position filled in a while. It's busted.
They pay $12,000 a year for a car auto allowance, $6,000 each. Why do we do that? That's not mandated.
It's not mandated.
And you go on and on.
No, that's not mandated. That's not mandated. And like you asked the other day about the travel, we don't have to pay for her travel, but
the secretary, we have to furnish him a secretary?
We don't have to.
That's about $40,000 a year. Stay down there $40,000 a year. And put all the benefits in there. Those are places that we could really, I think we should try to make some cuts.
We don't have any. Another question that was ended in health care programs, that'd be the hospital district. That's not us. We don't have any of that.
Yeah, well, and did you care?
Yeah, we don't. That doesn't go through us. They go through the hospital district.
But we don't have to pay anything.
The appraisal district's budget, we do have to fund our part of that. I don't remember, it's 141,000.
It's 149,000 this year.
Yeah.
What's that?
The appraisal district's budget, we do have to fund that budget. For us and the school district. The appraisal district's budget. And this year it's $149,000 for our part of the budget. And that's in our budget. You asked about the motor vehicles, fees, and taxes. We get to keep $10 on every auto registration. And that all goes straight to road and bridge. Court-appointed criminal lawyers, we have to pay a lot for those. We do get some reimbursement on that.
Don't the county state pay us a fee?
The state reimburses some money almost
every
year. It's about $35,000.
$20,000, $35,000 and $38,000, depending on how much we turn in that we spent. And I have to do a report. It's due November 1st, and I report all of that. So based on that is how much we get back.
Right. And we budget that. You see in the budget that we budget so much to spend and so much to do.
And that's in your district court budget if you go look for it.
And then the last thing he asked about is the adult juvenile probation programs. The adult probation program, we budget $1,000 a year. They really never spend it. And then they have some grant money that's split between them and the county attorney.
That's their pre-trial.
5,000 of it goes to them, and 10,000 goes to...
The rest of it goes to...
To John Mark's office. And then on the juvenile probation side, we fund the Russell and Juvenile Board, and we have to pay for all the juvenile detentions, which some years run pretty high, this year's running pretty high.
All the juvenile...
Detentions, we, yeah, we have to send them along to do that. And there's been some years that's been $50,000. It's getting pretty close to 50 this year, I think.
You don't get any reimbursement for that?
No. Okay?